Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio station that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have you aboard tonight, everybody. We got a special guest with us here tonight. Before we get into that, folks, I think it should be noted that earlier this week was the, although they don't do it anymore, the anniversary of Much Music being founded back on August 31st, 1984. They first went on the air and kind of changed everything in Canada for us. So congratulations to them, although they don't play music anymore. Besides that, though, I do want to get to our guest today because she has a very cool job in terms of being on the radio as well, and we want to talk to her about that. So let's get to her because she's got a lot going on in her life, and certainly we don't want to waste any of her time. We will go back a few years, though, to one of the women here who helped build one of the national representatives in PEI last year thanks to her work on the Blue Line. She spent time with an NCAA Division III team before moving to an NCAA Division I team before returning back to her province of birth to continue her hockey career, where she had already laid the groundwork on a successful career in the Lethbridge minor hockey scene. While her collegiate career lasted just 3 years in total, her contributions to youth sports programs go beyond the 1 year she spent on the ice with the Mount Royal Cougars. She was also a big part of the CWHL scene when working with Calgary in the CWHL, and her current career makes her voice not only a powerful ally for women's hockey, but an informative role in delivering the news on the radio. Ladies and gentlemen, The Hockey Show is proud, honored, privileged, humbled, pleased to introduce you to former Mount Royal Cougars defender, Miss Kenzie Menzak. Kenzie, how are you?
Hello, I am very well, thanks. How are you doing?
I am great, thank you. Happy to have you along for the chat tonight, because I was digging through your career, and it's pretty
awesome. It's a roller coaster, isn't it? I'm really happy to be here, yeah.
There's a lot that, I only knew of your 1 year just because we were getting into it in terms of some of the Bison broadcasts when you were
Right.
And I was kind of like, I know she played, but I had no idea about all the other stuff you did as well. So that's the stuff I want to get into and certainly talk to you about. But we'll start at the beginning. We'll start this hockey journey way back at the start. April 21st, 1993, in fact, when a baby girl was added to the Menzak household. What was life like for young Kenzie growing up in Lethbridge, Alberta?
Oh, you know, as soon as you turn maybe 3 or 4, those skates were going on, probably even before that. That was sort of our regime. That little town of Lethbridge, you know, had some people go through, of course, the Sutter family and Versteegs and Setoguchis. You kind of grew up, of course, that was kind of your number one sport was hockey, and that, of course, was mine. So, I started at 4. There wasn't actually a program in Lethbridge, so I trekked 10 minutes outside of town to little Coaldale. Okay. And started at 4 and then came back to Lethbridge at 5 to play Timbits and started that amazing, very long journey of mine.
You kind of went off as a kid there. You decided that, you know, you just weren't happy playing. You were winning and excelling all over the place. If I can run through the accolades, you won with the Lethbridge Junior Eagles. You were the 2007-2008 Alberta Provincial Champion with the Midget A Blaze program, and then you captained the Highwood Raiders Midget AAA program. So looking back at your pre-collegiate days, what stands out as some of the best moments that you had, and basically what lessons did you take forward with you when you went into university hockey?
I actually have another one to add to that list, Trevor, and that's so Pee Wee AA, I played on the boys. So there was only ever, I think, 3 of us in total that were girls that actually played in that specific league. It was the highest league that you could play in Alberta. Nice. So that's a pretty good one for me. That was pretty hard to make. And then I actually played boys hockey until my second year of Bantam, I think it was, or for either first or second year. Not a lot of girls do that. They kind of start off, but that was one thing that kind of excelled for me because, you know, the speed, the strength, everything like that. But I would say probably my, you know, aside from captaining my grade 12 year and being in AAA, which was kind of the highest point for me, I think the most successful part of my career was being coached by Keith Hitchcock in Lethbridge. His brothers, Ken Hitchcock, coached the Blues. You know, he is probably the best coach I have ever had. He just knew how to kind of handle me, handle the girls, put me on spots on the power play say, no way, you're not playing penalty kill. Okay, that's great. And I'll just an all-around great guy. I was kind of younger, so I was in grade 9 playing with 10, 11, 12s because of just my skill set and what they offered me in Lethbridge. So we won, you know, I probably could say we only lost maybe 5 games that year. We won every tournament, won provincials, won league, and that to have that kind of team and atmosphere and even coaching and stuff like that, it's just, I hope everyone growing up has that experience because it was phenomenal.
Do you know if he's still out there coaching? Is that something he's still
doing? No, he's actually the manager of Lethbridge Hockey now. He kind of made that transition, I want to say 5 years ago, an opportunity presented itself. So now he gets to look after my little nephew in that league. So that's, I don't know if that's good or bad, but he's not coaching anymore, which is unfortunate for kids growing up. They'd be lucky to have him.
Yeah, no doubt. Again, just reading about some of the stuff you did, other sports, you were pretty active in a number of other sports as well. Was there any besides hockey that stood out that you were like, yeah, this is my thing. This is my sport.
You know, I played all the school sports, especially in middle school. First it was volleyball. You know, that was okay. But then I really got into basketball and I had a coach, you know, grade 6 to 8 where she just kind of made me look at basketball in like such a different way and use my skills even from hockey and kind of crossed over, which I think is so important, just throwing that out there that, you know, a lot of kids, you're doing badminton, sports, running, hockey, and it's so important to be able to just be kind of that diverse athlete. It helps you so much. In basketball, it was incredible. Like, the fight we had, and we always, you know, we're neck and neck with another school, and I kind of carried that on to about grade 10, and then that was kind of the age and grade where you say, okay, what am I most serious about, and what am I going to pursue more likely, and stuff like that. And of course, hockey was always my number one, and it's a longer season, and I kind of excelled a little more at that, but that's all thanks to my middle school coach there, and she just knew, again, where to put me, where to place me, and knew my skills and kind of crossing over from hockey. But that, yeah, basketball, I'd say, was a big one.
That's actually pretty awesome. I mean, like I said, like you were saying, we entirely endorse the idea of multifaceted athletes who have played a variety of sports, obviously, because, I mean, who knows? But, I mean, yeah, taking time away from hockey is always good. I know that people want to put the year-round sort of emphasis on
right.
and all that kind of stuff.
I think nowadays too, with all the advanced training, you know, the conditioning, there's the skating treadmill, there's the plexiglass that you slide side to side on. There's so many things that it's not necessarily bad not to play spring sports or fall sports because of all those resources people have. But I think, you know, for me growing up, I was outside on my bike and shooting pucks in the driveway until it was nighttime, and then I got up the next day and I was skateboarding and biking and rollerblading. But, you know, it's good to see all these advanced options for kids nowadays to just focus on one sport, because it can get also like mentally draining, right, to try and do everything. So yeah.
So I was, again, digging into your pre-university playing career. Is it true, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because it seems like this might be true, is it true that you graduated from high school in 2011?
Correct.
You didn't actually start playing university hockey, though, until 2012.
I didn't. So I was one of those.
You took a gap year? Is that correct?
I did, yeah. I actually played junior in Lethbridge for that 1 year. Looking back, you know, I wish I kind of would have went right into university, but I unfortunately didn't have those tremendous grades to go excel. Yeah, so I did a lot of upgrading because I was, you know, hockey was so important to me, and I never really understood the concept of school. And if I could do it all again, Trevor, again, I would I would really try in class. And I'm going to admit that. I openly admit that. But then again, you know, if I didn't take that year, I could have ended up somewhere else. And I would not trade that for absolutely anything in my journey. So that's it's okay. And I'm not against anyone doing that or going right out of school. You know, we're 17, 18-year-old kids. It's kind of hard. And to just move away and create this whole new life. So I was glad I waited a year. And in terms of maturity and being able to move away from home, because as you know, I went way out east, and I'm sure we'll get into that. But I don't know what it would have been like to kind of jet out there right after high school and kind of get thrown into the mass of life.
Well, I mean, those are two good points. One, obviously, you know, do well in school, kids. Don't forget about the education stuff. But secondly, you're right. I mean, as a 17, 18 year old, you know, kid, you're an adult by age standards, but I mean, maturity level and certainly life experience levels. I mean, you're not at that point. I was going to ask you directly, you know, as soon as you sort of finish answering that, 2012, 2013, saw you make the move east to New York, where you joined the NCAA Division III Plattsburgh State Cardinals. And I always wonder, because I mean, we see kids moving all around and going to schools all over the place. I always wonder how moving like 1,000 miles away across a border, away from home, you know, in terms of how difficult it is when it comes to settling in at a new school, in a new city, in a new town, and then undertaking all of the schoolwork as well. How was it for you?
For me, it was difficult at first. My whole family is from Lethbridge, so moving to a place where I literally couldn't just go see them for the weekend, I was a plane ride away. But my mom had helped me move out there. I didn't know anyone, but that's a great thing about college sports is you spend about a weekend with your whole team and you're all best friends. And in Plattsburgh, we had dorm rooms, so I had at least four teammates in the dorm with me all the time, so we got to hang out a lot doing that and stuff. So, and they were so big on team dynamics and team parties and team gatherings and even just watching movies, going for walks. It's such a good atmosphere. And especially in the States, it's a little different talking with college sports. They're, you know, their whole town revolves around the sport. Within 2 months, you have, you know, people adding you on social media and saying, hey, like, you're new, right? You're a freshman, you're playing for the Cards. And you say, oh, yeah. And they're like, I'm at every single game. And it's just, it's such a cool atmosphere that it does really make you feel like home. But you obviously get those moments around Thanksgiving and maybe birthdays or certain things where you're like, you got that, you know, FOMO, fear of missing out at home, because my family, you know, that we're all really close and we get together for a lot of dinners and stuff, even besides holidays. So it was tough at first, but I really just kind of got into it, and I can make friends pretty easily. So it was an easier transition probably for me than most people.
Well, I mean, you joined a pretty strong team on the Cardinals as well. I mean, you guys were juggernauts that year. After starting the season with an overtime win and a tie, you guys went on a crazy 18-game winning streak before Utica College posted a 3-3 tie against you guys on February 2nd, 2013. As a rookie, what's it like jumping into this team that simply doesn't lose?
It was the most I guess you could say, because you get there and, you know, we had probably at least five players that had played Division I before that came down. Kev Huell was just this, you kind of look at him and you get intimidated and he starts talking and you're like, okay, let's, you know, he's serious. He's a Boston guy. And, and just the winning atmosphere, you know, we had what's called a dry season. So nobody drinks, nobody goes out. We kind of, everyone was on the same page, and that was the most important thing. So we were, you know, looking forward to playing Norwich because they were our head-to-head rivals and stuff. And we were just all so committed and focused for the year that, and they didn't even have to say, look, this team that you're on, you know, we don't do this, we don't do that. It's just, they made you want to do that as a freshman because everyone was just so positive and communicating, and there was no drama, of course, with a team of 22 girls. Of course, there's going to stir some up, but we didn't have any. We always, you know, made family dinners. We made movie nights, and like we just kept winning and winning and winning, and it didn't even matter what our record was. We kind of thought about it now and then. We just wanted to focus on the next game, and then eventually went to the Frozen Four. So
we'll get to the Frozen Four in a second. How well do you know your own career though? Do you want to go over a few highlights?
I guess so.
November 3rd, 2012 was a big night for you, Kenzie. Do you recall?
I want to say that was my first goal.
And who was it against?
Chatham.
Chatham University Cougars.
I do know this because I still have my first goal puck.
Absolutely awesome. That's great. Do you remember who you beat? Do you know who the goaltender was that night?
Oh, I don't.
A young lady by the name of Megan Buchanan was who you beat for your first ever NCAA goal. Do you know why that goal is also important?
Because doesn't she play professional now?
She may have for a short amount of time, yes. But that goal was also your first NCAA point, and it was the first ever NCAA game-winning goal for you as well, because you guys won 5-0 that night. So,
look at that. Look at all these stats, you know.
Exactly. 12-20, you scored at 12-22 of the first period, so congratulations on that.
I'm going to put that on all my resumes now.
There you go. 3 days later, November 6, 2012, you had another moment. Do you recall who you were playing against and why you had another moment?
3 days later, was it Utica?
No, SUNY Potsdam Bears.
Oh, Potsdam, right. Was that, I can't remember. I don't think it was at home, was it?
It might have been at home. It was at home, and at 12:20.
Adam had to come to us because they're like 14 hours away
Exactly, yeah, it's crazy. So at 12:24 of the second period, you assisted on Caitlin Gilligan's goal for your first ever NCAA assist.
Oh, good old Gilly. Yeah, she probably ripped it from the point or something like that.
It was on the 4-1 goal. It was an 8-1 victory that day for you guys. You also recorded your second assist of the season on the 8-1 goal when Melissa McIver scored at 19:57.
Nice. Look at that. Just banging them home.
to your first multi-point game as well. There you go. You had a pair of goals and four assists that freshman season. Do you recall who you scored against for your other goal?
There weren't a lot of teams that we played, but okay, let me think.
If it helps, the date was November 24th, 2012.
24th. What's the orange team?
I don't believe these guys are orange. No, these guys are orange. It happened.
I got a color.
Hold on. It happened at the UNO Chicago Grill Cardinal Panther Classic.
Cardinal Panther Classic. Oh, Elmira?
No. Should I let you in on it? Okay.
Yeah.
You scored the opening goal at 4:43 of the first period against Carrie Stewart of the Amherst College Mammoths.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And you guys eventually ended up winning 8-3 that day. So another big win. But so that was your second goal. You're the second and final goal of the season for you that year. But yeah, a couple big goals in terms. Seems like you only wanted to score in like the first period, so that was all right.
You gotta come out flying, Trevor. I think that's why.
Nothing wrong with that strategy.
Apparently got the team going, so that's fine.
Exactly. Get ahead and stay ahead. That's all right. Looking at the overall season, though, Plattsburgh State legitimately stomped through the regular season and definitely through the ECAC West playoffs. The Cardinals went 25-0-2. 25-0 losses and 2. Kind of earning the top seed at the NCAA Division 3 tournament, excuse me. After beating St. Norbert, you ran into Middlebury College, a team you had already beaten twice during the regular season by scores of 3-2 and 3-1. Gotta ask, what happened in that semifinal game, because the outcome was not as expected?
You know what? I think we should have gotten a wake-up call earlier that season. I think if we would have lost one game, if we would have got stomped, if we would have got something, you know, we would have been able to ground ourselves again, because we went into that tournament, you know, we could play Middlebury, we could play Elmira, and we actually were just looking too forward, and we said, okay, we're going to get Elmira in the final, we just got to get past Middlebury, whatever, it's going to be fine. And the other team that was playing Elmira actually went undefeated in their season as well. They're from Minnesota, I believe. And I remember sitting there in the second period and going into the third, and I think they were up at this point, maybe 2-0, 2-1, maybe even higher. But we all, like, the room was silent, and, you know, and then of course the clock starts ticking down in the third, and we just, that moment, I still remember how upset every single person was in that dressing room. Like I said, we're such a good team it was such a good team atmosphere, and we were all so close. We just couldn't believe it. Just heartbreak, and like, we only had two seniors that year, and one of which actually got injured. So this was, you know, at least she got another chance the next year. But our captain, Teal Gove, she's one of the hardest working people I've ever met in my life, and she just really worked for 4 years. And seeing the look on everyone's face, even my coach and our assistant coach, it was, to this day, I can say I've never experienced heartbreak in a sport like that, or even kind of in a community. It was devastating to us. So we went into the third place game kind of being like, all right, let's just have some fun. this other team, you know, they were in our position too. And after, we were like, okay, well, at least we both came here undefeated, and we're going home with a big L in that column. So
yeah. At least it was okay. But you guys did win the bronze medal. I mean, take nothing away from that.
We got to come home with some hardware. Again, I have that beside my little puck. So that was that's really nice. And, of course, the experience, you know, going to Wisconsin and just doing that is great. And, of course, as you know, my former team had quite the success about – 5 years after, all 5 years. So that's all good. But yeah, I wouldn't trade that year for the world and everything with that experience and stuff. So yeah, it was a big learning curve, and it was great to have for my first year of college, for sure.
So it looked like 2013-2014 was going to be a redemption year, but things changed. You didn't go back to Plattsburgh, New York. Instead, you landed in Bemidji, Minnesota, where you suited up for the Bemidji State Beavers. What prompted the transfer? Why make the leap after such a great year in Plattsburgh?
I honestly, I've always had in the back of my head, you know, I want to go Div 1, even though I was on such a notorious Division 3 team, which probably could compete against a lot of Div 1 teams. But I was also talking to a friend of mine that was at Bemidji, and she said, look, we're losing lots of players. He's hosting walk-on tryouts, all this stuff. And I really thought about it, and I talked to my parents, and financially I think that was a better suit for me too. And it was a little bit closer to home, but I mean, not by much, but I just thought, you know, what the hell, I'll just go for it. And so I actually ended up going there, not being committed or signing anything at all. And I just said, look, I'm just gonna go on these tryouts. I'm gonna live with my friend in a house of four other girls. And if I don't make it, you know, maybe I can redshirt and then try again next year. I was so, I just kind of thought, okay, this is it. This is a great town. I had a former friend of mine from Lethbridge who played all his 4 years there, and or 5 years, and he absolutely loved it. So I just heard nothing but good things from there. And I still remember the feeling of just like driving into Bemidji being like, is this place even real? Is this all of Minnesota? And the way the school was, and our rink, the very last, you know, time I got to walk into that rink, it was like the first time. It's a beautiful rink, and I just hope, you know, everyone who gets the privilege to play Division 1, 2, 3 hockey, any sport, has that feeling as well, because for me, that was just incredible.
I mean, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, BSU is a good hockey school, but Bemidji, the town, just rallies around that school as well. Did you notice, though, a major change in speed and play in terms of the game, you know, in terms of how it's being played when going from Division 3 to Division 1 in the NCAA?
I did, and that's a big question, of course. You know, my cousin played on Clarkson in Division 1 that actually same year when they won the national championship. And we always kind of talk about that in terms of, you know, CIS and U Sports now, but the speed is actually the biggest thing, I would say. You know, it's a lot of girls, you know, they'll train, they got the strength, they got the smarts, you know, they got that kind of stuff. But the speed, because it's so much higher level, and you have just so many talented players, because that's essentially, you know, that's a stepping stone to national programs. Like, we played against Amanda Kessel, and just when she was on the ice, you were astounded. And one of my forwards, Stephanie Anderson, she was in the U.S. kind of system too. And the girl, every time she took a shot, I would gladly get out of the way because I did not want any bruises or even broken bones because her shot was so hard that it actually, like, I could feel a bruise coming through my shin pads at one point. So, yeah, the speed definitely is a factor for sure. And just also the team's atmosphere, right? And the community, it's right, more yeah. serious and because it's such a prestige league, I guess you could say.
The other big surprise that season, which I thought was a big surprise, at least to me anyway, is that Kenzie Menzak, forward for the Cardinals, was now listed as Kenzie Menzak, defender for the Beavers. What caused what caused the shift back to the blue line in Minnesota?
You know what? I just said I have experience in both. I played D when I was in boys hockey, and then I switched to forward when I was in girls because, you know, you get a little more time and you're not afraid of being clobbered in the corners. So I just changed that, and I just talked to my assistant coach, and I said, look, can you just put me anywhere? I'm good to go. I just want to play wherever you need me. I'm flexible. So they put me on D, and I didn't mind, but not an issue, but not as good as other players, of course. So D was kind of hard to transition to that. But yeah, I just said, you know, throw me out anywhere and I'm good to go. Like, aside from goalie, that's fine. But I was pretty versatile. And nowadays, I still, you know, if I go and play shinny, I'm like, oh, I can play D, I can play forward. So
big difference, I think, looking at overall stats and everything. 30 games the previous season, you moved to Minnesota, moved to Bemidji. You only get dressed for a pair of games that season against Ohio State, a 4-1 win and a 3-1 loss. No points in those games, nothing really to speak of in terms of penalty minutes, so you kept yourself out of trouble, which was good. But I would think it would be hard, and I mean, this is a question for you. Was it hard going from an everyday player to basically watching from the stands?
Yeah, so I actually, the only game I physically played and kind of stepped on the ice, we actually had an exhibition game against the Russian national team.
Oh, wow.
That was on Wednesday because it was the Thanksgiving time. And, you know, we didn't have any games all weekend, and it was the year of the Olympics. So, you know, the Russian teams and lots of teams kind of jumped around to get some playing time before the big tournament. So I went to my coach and I kind of said, you know, can I play this game? And he said, well, you know, if you play, you won't be able to redshirt next year, because I hadn't played since then, you know. And that was understandable. I was a walk-on. I was just there to work hard and have fun. And that's, you know, what my dad always told me. So I'm just going to do it. And yeah, he put me on. I had a great time. I mean, I think others were in the I'm get to go home tonight after the game sort of thing, because they're from Winnipeg and they're closer. But yeah, it is very, very hard to kind of show up every day at that rink and work your butt off and just hope that you're going to be in the lineup that next day. You know, nothing's ever set in stone. And I always thought the harder I worked or the more success I got, or, you know, gradually I would eventually get into a games. And there were times with Ohio and even St. Cloud, there'd be two people out of injury and I still wouldn't kind of get that spot in. I had to go to them and be like, well, can I just dress, you know, can I experience warm up, can I do this, can I do that? Like, I didn't really ask for much. So it is really hard. It takes a really mental toll on yourself as well. Because I never expect anything. I never thought I deserved anything until it got handed to me, right? They would notice. So
yeah.
Going all year and doing that, I think it was maybe in the new year I finally kind of broke down in front of my trainer, because I, you know, if you don't play, you do a workout. So I decided not to that day because I was mad and blah, blah, blah. And I started breaking down in front of him, and I still remember the exact time. And he goes, Kenzie, like, as much as sucks you're not in the games, it's not, this isn't all about hockey. And that just kind of clicked with me and stayed with me. And he said, you know, you're the hardest working one here, and you're not playing, and you're the most devoted and you're not playing. And I said, well, what's the use then? And he goes, because one day you're gonna be in life and you're gonna have a job and you're just gonna keep working hard and you're gonna remember, like, not to give up, and you're gonna give good work ethic. And it was incredible to realize it was just more about hockey at that point. As much as I devoted my entire, at that point, I think I was 21 years into hockey, and not realizing what the big picture was. So like I said, when I got to that rink and I got home where I was training, it was like the first time every time I got goosebumps going in there. I just couldn't believe I was privileged enough to work out in this brand new facility and have all this, you know, equipment and this sticks with my names on them. And I hope that, you know, every woman or man that gets to go to collegiate or play collegiate hockey, they kind of have that feeling how like grateful you actually should be instead of kind of taking it for granted.
Yeah, that's a good message. I mean, especially when you consider that there aren't a lot of people that make it to that level. So yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, be a little more grateful about the opportunity rather than just, you know, whether or not you're playing or not. But I mean, I always find, and I'm glad you brought it up because you mentioned it, there are a lot of players from Winnipeg that usually play for Bemidji State. Considering the amount of Canadians that you normally have on the roster, Manitobans are all over the place on that roster. 2013-2014 was no different. They boasted 6 Manitobans in Madison Hutchinson, Tess Dusick, Emily McKnight, Brittany Mowat, Kaylee Chapman, and Christine Grenier. As you said, you already had some people down there that you knew from Lethbridge. Do you guys kind of, as Canadians, sort of just band together as the Canuck contingent down there when you're living away?
Honestly, that was kind of the opposite. So Chaffee, she was in a house with a bunch of Americans. So her best friend was actually from Minnesota. I think Nighty, she might have had a good friend from Minnesota. I lived with my friend Tegan Rose's fellow Albertan, and then my other friend Huber is from BC, and then the other two are from the States. So everyone was just kind of rallying everywhere at this point, right? Which is great. But you know, at Thanksgiving we did a Canada versus US game, and it was pretty even, like, till kind of the end. I think we maybe won by 2 or something, and you never let them let it down, of course. So
Yeah,
it wasn't a country thing at that point, that's just so important in sports too, right? Because you get a lot of women from Russia, Sweden, and especially in men's, our men's side had Slovakia, Russian, a lot of different ethnicities and countries coming over. So it's incredible to experience that in collegiate hockey for sure.
So just as you did one summer earlier, the season ended, and it looked like, maybe there's a shot here for Kenzie to establish herself, get herself into the roster as an everyday player. But you made the jump back home. You came back across the border, transferring to Canada West to join the Mount Royal Cougars. Again, what prompted the change to move you from Bemidji to Calgary?
I think, again, it was a lot of it for me is a financial aspect. You know, is it worth it in the long run? Can I go another year with heartbreak and not playing? Can I be away from my family? It was a lot of, can I do this and that? It just came down to, okay, what's going to be best for me in the next couple of years? They didn't have my program as well at Bemidji, so it was kind of more, general. So, yeah, I came back to Mount Royal. I knew Calgary well. Obviously, I'm from Lethbridge, so it was very close, and I have a little bit of family here. And I thought, okay, let's try one more time to play. And at the start, you know, it was looking good and everything like that. And then just kind of as the season progressed, I was seeing some deja vu from previous years or that year. So, it was cool to be back in Calgary for sure. You know, we had family come up, and definitely different playing in CIS, or I guess it's U Sports now. I keep forgetting that, but, and I knew a lot of girls that were in that league and that team. So it was kind of like I was reuniting from high school, and yeah, that was kind of neat. But I was focused a lot more on school when I came back, which helped me out in the long run for sure. So, that was another difficult decision, but it still worked out kind of in the end for me. So
you lined up on defense again for the Cougars, not going back to your normal forward position. You played in 10 games, registered no points, and had 4 penalty minutes. But again, because you had already mentioned it before, you know, when you're talking to friends, to players that you know, is the jump to Canada West hockey after playing NCAA hockey for 2 years easier, similar? Did you find it a major transition, good, bad? How was the switch coming back to U Sports hockey?
Coming back, it is much slower paced, I would say. There are the occasional girls, you know, that have like bursts of speeds and are just kind of on that next level. But for the most part, it is kind of that middle speed, I guess you could say, if there was a slow, middle, fast. Because, yeah, University in the States, just everyone's so much more maybe dedicated as a team, maybe not each player. I can't speak for players up here.
Right.
But, it's just the intensity and the atmosphere. And I would say it was kind of difficult because when you play with other great, fast players, your intensity just goes up automatically, right? And so you're in the corners. I played with a girl who just would not quit in the corners in Bemidji. It was insane. And so it just kind of thrives you. And then you get back to a team who had previously been in ACAC, which they had transferred over, right, a couple years ago. So now they still have kind of a couple players that were recruited there and on the team. So now, MRU is trying to get more players coming from high school. They're looking to, maybe other players coming back from the state. So they were still kind of in that transition. So it was hard to kind of find speed with them and find a lot of goal scorers. I think that year we had a lot of grinders. We had good goaltending, but that's not going to win hockey games. So in terms of the speed and overall quality, it was a lot quicker and a lot kind of advanced playing in Div 1.
Mount Royal, for those that are maybe wondering, went 6-17-2-5 that season. Again, only the third, I believe it was the third season that they had been in Canada West. You guys finished in seventh place, 2 points better than Lethbridge. Personally, looking at what happened though 2 years later, it seemed that the pieces were kind of falling into place that season. Players like Arnold, Wenninger, Sepper, all added to the roster, all part of the roster. Who would lead Mount Royal to the playoffs 2 seasons later for the very first time ever. Could you sense that, maybe this team was turning a corner on the verge of a breakthrough when you were playing that year?
I did. I was, I was glad that the freshmen came up as they did, Sepper and Pinkott was technically a freshman, but she still came up from playing in the States as well, like phenomenal goalie, and just other girls that year, because they just, they had that speed. Sepper is like 5'11", I think, as a forward, and which is incredible. So, and just having that drive. And Sarah, she always was a good goal scorer in high school. I played against her, and she's from Lethbridge, and, played against her growing up. And when she was in those positions, she didn't make a mistake. And she, had that good, accurate snipe shot. So, it might have just taken 2 years to rebuild and kind of get used to the speed once again and get some young girls who, have a better shot or aren't afraid to make those plays and dangle right on the blue line. Those risky plays that if it goes good, you get praise, and if it goes bad, you get on the bench. So I experienced that a couple of times, and that's the thing with hockey. Like, you should give your players that versatility to be able to say, okay, go out there and just do it. Like, go do what you do best. And Sarah was a player who, she was assistant captain at one point, I think maybe her last 2 years, and she would make that play on the blue line. And if it worked and she went in and sniped and won the game, great. And if not, it was not good. So, but I think that's all about being young and going through the program and stuff. And especially when you transition from, ACAC, and then you win all in ACAC and you get to a higher, it's not as successful. I think it does take a couple of years to rebuild. And this year would have been their probably best year. And unfortunately it was canceled. And hopefully they can take that momentum from this year and bring it into the fall or whenever hockey starts up again for you guys as well. So
Mission 3 wins was already one win in the books. So yeah, I mean, this would have been an outstanding season just to see where they would have finished. But 2015-2016 was a bit of a surprise year for those who followed the Cougars. There was a mass exodus of players that kind of happened during that summer. Tanika Dawson, Janessa Jenkins, Taralyn Suzuki, Jade Osichuk, Danielle Klein, Jess Reed, Megan Parkin, and one Kenzie Menzak all hung up their skates. You didn't go far, though. You didn't go far. You became the equipment manager for the Cougars women's program, and you also chipped in with some color commentary duties when needed on the CanWest TV broadcasts. Being that you were a television and broadcast journalism student, did the work on the hockey broadcast really sort of help you for your future position in terms of where you are today?
Definitely. I mean, any experience is good experience, right? And so I was glad to transition that year. I mean, Tiki and all those girls, you know, their time was up. And I think other players like myself, Parkin, Klein, and Reed, you know, we were just kind of at that point again, and which people get to if it's voluntary or involuntary. But yeah, I just had an opportunity. I actually worked in the pro shop at our home rink. Even that year I played, I was sharpening skates and such. So, you know, I made a deal with Scotty, and I would do their skates, and yeah, just be able to use the facilities and kind of come on the ice sometimes, and started doing the commentary with a former classmate, which is fantastic. I mean, there's not a lot of course, you know, females that can right. do that sort of stuff. You know, I'm glad, you know, Cassie Campbell started doing it. AJ for the, and I think it's NBC or Fox, NBC or,
NBC.
Yeah. And, you know, lately you're seeing more and more of that, which is fantastic, because it is hard to kind of jump in the commentary seat. It's even harder to do play-by-play, but you know, it's understanding the game as well. And I played for however long, and one of my things is I anticipated the play really well. So, you know, when I started watching things, I would kind of jump in, and I also knew a lot of history of players, right? So when I started doing the commentary, I played with these girls, so I can say, yeah, so-and-so's from BC, and of course, you know, it's all about the info, you know, or hey, this year Kyra Gregg from Lethbridge, this is her year, and her dad played in the NHL is Mark Gregg. And, you know, it's those kind of stats that will really kind of put you in a spot that is your own special category, right? So I just doing that, and then I getting into my program the year after and doing radio and TV, and then kind of where I'm at now, it's I do miss it because it is really fun. I got to work with a fellow global anchor in Lethbridge as well, because I did another year of commentary down there, and it's just so much fun. And you just, when you're in the middle of it, you just can't believe this is actually like work.
Yeah, it's
right, and I'm sure you can say the same thing. So
yeah, we have more fun than I think we might give ourselves credit for. I think we spend most of our time laughing. So no, I agree. It doesn't feel like work. I mean, I know it's all again, prep and make sure you're prepared and all that kind
right.
of stuff.
Right. Yeah. The prep is pretty much the most work, right? You know, you want to know your stuff, and that's what I pride myself on. I tell everyone, you know, because they always say, of course, oh, you know, so much about sports. Even my mom, you know, you need to do something with that. And I go, I know, I do, but my biggest thing is, if I only know stuff to hear, and people are asking me about, you know, a foot over top of that, I'm not going to say that I know it. You know, I don't want to be ignorant to any information situation. I'll always be pretty honest and say, yeah, no, I don't know who scored Flyers game in 1946 or whatever. Maybe not the Flyers, Canadians, because they were around.
Right, yeah.
So, you know what I mean? I'm not going to you anytime. So I think that makes it myself kind of genuine in that situation, because I had a buddy of mine when we were doing the commentary, he kind of threw a random question out at me, and I was just like, no, I don't, but you know, let's get back to talking about the game.
Right. Yeah. No, that's fair.
Yeah.
No.
And it was great. So
We talked to Matt Ralph a lot on this show. He's the Bison's equipment manager. He always seems to teach me something new when we're talking to him about, you know, equipment and stuff that's going on behind the scenes. What did you learn as equipment manager that you didn't know as a player?
That if you mess up sharpening someone's skates, it is catastrophic.
I would imagine, yes.
I'm sure that some of my former Mount Royal teammates, if they listen, they will tell you that one day I sharpen everyone's skates, actually maybe 11 pairs, and it takes a long time. And you know, if the stone isn't just right and you like mess it up a little, it is awful. And I think they were away, and my one friend said, what the hell did you do to our skates? And I was like, what do you mean? I sharpened them. So everyone's coming on for warm-up, and it was just like every single, there's like five Bambis in a row, and this step on the ice, boom, step on the ice, boom. And it just went do, 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 do. And I just, like, hearing that, I kind of laughed, and then I thought, oh no, so this is warm up. 11 of them have to get off. Scott's panicking. He is sharpening everyone's skates, and he came to me and he's like, what did you do? And so we went back and looked at the stone, because they have a different one in the or beside the dressing room that I was used to in the rink.
Right, yeah.
So he kind of gave me a good lesson, and then I took my time, and then nothing bad after that. So I think that was the biggest thing, because I didn't do much else. I usually just did the skates. Scott usually did the laundry, and if girls needed tape, whatever. I never really traveled, so I was kind of like a part-time equipment manager, but I still got that nice title on the website, which was nice. But yeah, that was the biggest thing that I always remember, because I couldn't imagine myself even being like, okay, let's go for warm-ups, and just they said it felt like there's tape on the bottom of their skates, which you do as a prank for rookies, not when you're about to go play a hockey game.
Right,
so.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I can understand that being a problem. So
that was the biggest thing for sure.
Again, learning on the fly though, that's important. So that's good to see. I thought it was cool, and I didn't know this because I had no idea that you were doing this at the time. While living in Calgary, you also did a little pro media work, in that you were working with the CWHL's Calgary Inferno. What was that like in terms of covering a professional women's hockey team?
Oh, that was like, it's like when you're little and you just want to interview your idol, and you end up interviewing like five of them. So, you know, we had pretty notorious players here. Mickelson was still playing, and actually my friend Emerence Mashmeyer was here, so I got to interview her. And it was good to have those little connections, because I was able to, you know, do school projects with them as well. And looking to see how far they've come from doing that. And they do a lot of community work, so it was cool. I did the media for them. I did the interviews, some Twitter and kind of releases and stuff. But I got to interview Tara Watchhorn, and she was like one of my people I was watching growing up. So yeah. Which was cool. And Mickelson, that one was a good one, because she is, you know, gold medalist, like she's incredible. She goes and has two babies and it's like nothing happened, and she can just come right back to playing pro. And just kind of Inferno, of course, they were just unbelievable, the amount of skill they had. And but watching their games and the way they moved, and thinking, oh, okay, like I played with you. No, it was really cool. And even, you know, I remember them playing Boston one game, and they just absolutely destroyed them. I think it was like 8-0. But this poor goalie, I can't even remember her name, but Helm maybe, she probably faced 60 shots.
Lauren Dom?
And she was one of the MVPs. Yes, Dom, not Helm, yeah, Dom. Yeah. And I interviewed her, and because, you know, I interviewed each MVP. I think she got second star or whatever. And she was just the sweetest girl, had this really soft-spoken voice. And I was just like, so, like, you know, 62 shots, you let 8 in. What's next for tomorrow? Because, you know, they had a two-game weekend. Yeah, that was the first game, and they scored that much.
Yeah.
And she goes, you know, we'll just come back tomorrow, but right now I think we're just going to go back and rest. And I just thought, you better go back and rest, honey. Like, I am so sorry that you had to do that. And it's not that, like, they didn't have any skill, or they didn't have those players, right? It was just the fact that the Inferno was just stacked with Team Canada players, right? Yeah. And they've all been playing together, right? Like Salmi and Turnbull and Rebecca Johnson, and like, oh my gosh, it was insane.
I don't remember that specific game, but I remember Dom always kind of being shelled in all of her games, just because Boston, you know, didn't have a great team or whatever. But she was always like the most like, you know, we played well, but we'll come back tomorrow. And I was always like, oh, man, she's like the most positive person after just getting absolutely hammered.
Isn't she? And she's just so soft-spoken. And I'm like, you're actually probably should get MVP every single game, just for how you react and you know, just the kind of person she is.
So I got to ask you a tough question now, because you went back home and you did a little color commentary for your hometown team in the Lethbridge Pronghorns. obviously, you know the news and you're in the news, so you know what's going on. But being that you were born and raised in the city, being that you kind of had the Pronghorns there the whole time, what does the loss of the Lethbridge Pronghorns hockey program mean to you?
You know, it's pretty devastating in the sense that when I was graduating high school, I never really thought I would play for that team just because I was one, you know, I really wanted to go to the States and I was pretty set in that sense. So, and, you know, they started getting some momentum. They start, you know, they got a new coach and doing the commentating for them and watching them just progress throughout the year. It was just really incredible. And you would think it, you know, would go up from there. And the men's team has always been very, very decent, I guess you can say. They battle hard. And there was a lot of talk before that. And so it was, even for both teams, it's just devastating because as a young player from Lethbridge, you kind of look at your options and you say, okay, the closest university I can go to is Calgary. Like, that kind of stinks. And that school is incredible. There's so many good programs. It's such a cool little college town. And yeah, they were just slowly getting better. And it took as to a shock to a lot of former players there, as well as, you know, I have some friends that were in their last year and they were kind of blindsided, which is really unfortunate to maybe not give the organization and players a chance to sort of maybe raise money if it was because of the finances. Or yeah, it was just really odd. I remember reading the release at work and just thinking, oh, like I just had that pit in my stomach that no matter what, they can't, you know, bring it back up. And it was both teams as well, which that broke my heart too, because I had a former family member play there who passed away, who he was the kind of the face of the Pronghorns, and he kind of meant everything to them. And to kind of see that go is just, yeah, it's just heartbreaking for me.
The timing of this was awful as well. Like, legitimately, there's nowhere. I mean, some of the players were lucky enough to be able to transfer out, but there's legitimately not a lot of places you can go once this is announced in the beginning of spring. And I just go, like, this is the worst timing for this.
Right. And you kind of have to think about it, too, from, like, a women's perspective. We go to a school based on our, you know, choice of hockey, but also our choice of program.
Right.
And how long we want to go there, and how, when we're done that school and that hockey, we're going to, you know, be okay, and we're going to get a degree or a diploma, and we're going to kind of continue life. But you kind of look at the other side, a lot of the men's teams, they're not going until, you know, 21, 22, they're done junior or something like that. And then they play the rest of their hockey, and then they kind of gravitate to the educational side. And I mean, there are a few who will, you know, go to U of L or go to U of C saying, okay, yeah, because I'm, you know, I'm done playing junior. I really want an education now. But you know what I mean? A lot of them will just kind of take that as a last resort, where that's our first resort. And that's a big thing in women's hockey too these days, is that we go from high school to university to blank. So, you know, you're either good enough to go to the national team, but now we got the professional league, which is fantastic again, and it's slowly getting better. But if you eliminate those stepping stones from university and you can't go anywhere, like that's just a big hit to the head, right? Like, or yeah. And to the heart, really. Right. So,
and I mean, like I said, I'm hopeful that the group they put together in Lethbridge will figure it out and hopefully get the program back. But I mean, yeah, just it was just out of nowhere, kind of out of the blue sort of shot to the gut there when they announced.
Right. Set, so. And I think if it wasn't so sudden and drastic, and it was like, look, you know, this is just what's going to happen. Your last year is going to be this year. I think it just would have been a better feeling and a better way to go out. But the fact that it was just kind of snipped very quickly is pretty tough to swallow for a lot of people and players.
Well, let's hope they bring it back, because I mean, knock on wood, that things can still change, and hopefully we'll find a way to get to bring them back.
It's 2020, Trevor, so I think a lot of things can happen still, right?
Right, yeah. I mean, there's lots of opportunities still, hopefully, that they can bring it back. But I got to ask you, because you graduated from Mount Royal, you got your degree in television and broadcast journalism.
I did it.
And you landed in a place that sounds like it's pretty good, working for 660 News AM in Calgary. Is this the dream job you always wanted?
Oh, I don't know. Honestly, if we're being so honest, when I applied for the job, I was like, what is this station? And so I asked everyone in Calgary, my cousin, friends, family, they're like, I know 660 News. Yeah, yeah, that's Calgary. That's really good. And so obviously did my homework. That's, I like to be prepared. And yeah. I know it's in the City TV building. It's under Rogers. So Sportsnet's there, a lot of FM stations, City News. And I thought, okay, sweet. You know, it's an anchoring job. And that's what I want to do in terms of dream job, you know, be an anchor, radio, TV, sports, whatever, you know, I have my mind on sports. So it's kind of, it was pretty soon after Christmas that year, I had to move up in 2 weeks. Literally, I think I moved 5 days after New Year's Day. And I have been there ever since. So it's been a year and a half, and I've covered a couple positions, but mostly anchors. So yeah, it's been really good. I really enjoy Calgary. It's close enough to Lethbridge, obviously, to kind of zip home, see the family, but far enough away to not get too distracted. And I got a little bit of family here and some friends. So it's been a ride, but it's been good.
A few minutes left. I got about a minute, maybe a minute left here. I want to sort of finish off with a couple of sort of goofy, fun questions. You can laugh about them and give your thoughts on them. But you graduated from Central Catholic High. Who were known as the Cougars. Your first NCAA goal came against Chatham University, also the Cougars, and you finished your hockey career as a Cougar. Did you ever think that being from Lethbridge, Hurricane Pronghorns, did you ever think that the Cougars would be so prominent in your hockey and schooling career?
Absolutely not. That's amazing. So you're saying I should maybe work for the Panthers or go to Prince George or something? And
I'm not saying that you should. I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying there seems to be a little bit of a theme here.
That's amazing. That's one stat I will remember for the rest of my life now.
You wore number 10 for Plattsburgh. You wore number 21 for Bemidji State, number 14 for Mount Royal. Do any of those numbers carry significance for you?
Mostly 21. I mean, I chose 10 because my dad and my brother were always 10 growing up. 21's the day I was born, and 14 was just kind of left over. So if I had to choose again, I would probably be 21 every single time. Yeah, that's just the day I was born, and I think it's a cool double-digit number. So, yeah.
We'll finish off with a question I always ask everybody. I think it's a good question because I think there's a lot of good information you can get out of the reflection, but what advice would you go back and give 19-year-old Kenzie Menzak in the summer before heading to Plattsburgh State if you could go back in time to see her?
Run a little more. Start running. Please start running. And you know what? That's it. Like, I would just say train a little more. I wouldn't change anything the past, 7 years since eight years. Wow. I wouldn't change anything in that sense. But if I had the advice, I would go in there. I would probably just run a little more, train a little more, and just not really, really care about anything else. Just go in and do it and enjoy the experience, which I did. And I have absolutely no regrets of jumping around everywhere, because if I didn't do that, I wouldn't have met the people I met and the places I seen. And it's just been incredible. So I wouldn't have either ended up in Calgary as well. So just run a little more.
That is very good advice. We've had other people say hit the gym more. So, I mean, kind of in the same sense at that point. Yeah, but
that team was full of runners. I couldn't believe it. I feel like I was at the wrong school for the wrong sport at that time.
Well, I mean, the one thing we never have enough time on or enough of on this program is time, certainly. We got to let you get out of here. Certainly our hour is almost up here as well, Kenzie. If you want to hear her, tune into 660 News AM, where you can hear Kenzie as one of the anchors every day in Calgary on that news station. But Kenzie Menzak, can't thank you enough for talking about your career here on the Hockey Show today. And certainly, if anything changes, anything comes up, anything you want to talk about, by all means, doors always open if you want to come back.
Great. Thank you so much, Trevor. I appreciate your time.
And I appreciate yours, Kenzie. Thanks for joining us here on the Hockey Show tonight. And thank you, listeners, for joining us on the Hockey Show tonight. Here is Taylor Swift's Endgame taking us out, as chosen by our guest tonight, Miss Kenzie Menzak, who you can hear on 660 News AM radio in Calgary. Stay tuned for Free Range Radio with Skippy coming up next here on 101.5 UM FM. Big reputation.